I think many of us, if not all of us, like a lot of these new go-y tunes that we've been singing. I certainly do. The problem I have is with those where it's men have to come in one line and women on another. If you're not quick on the draw, or you find yourself singing with the women if you're a man, or, well, I do in any case. But one of the themes of these songs or hymns or choruses that we've been singing is that it's the presence of the Lord with us which brings his blessing. And that's a very sound biblical theme. It's not that Christ is in heaven and he sends things. Peace and joy and forgiveness and healing come from his, like their personal, his personal presence. And where all they think of when they think of their Father is these rules written down for them. And this makes them a bit resentful, you know, and a bit annoyed with him. Why did he give us all these rules? They're enslaving us. And some of them, they don't even agree with them, and they don't understand why all these rules are necessary. They can't see the point of some of them. Some of them they can, but others they can't. And that makes them feel a bit rebellious against him, and they get angry with him a bit, and angry with these rules. I don't know if you know what I'm driving at. The Apostle Paul says that the law of God makes the sin in us even more rebellious when we hear it. Anyway, eventually the happy day comes. The war is won, and the Father returns to the children. And now they see him face to face. His personal word from his mouth is with them. They hear him, and he hears them, and they love him again. And he shows them his love. And when he's with them again, they then understand the point of all these rules that he sent in his absence. And they all now make sense. But they don't need them there on the wall anymore because he's with them now. That's my little story. Now God has gone away from us, hasn't he? In one sense. But it's our human sin that's driven him out. We have decided to be our own gods. We, the people of the world, I mean. We read in Isaiah 59, verse 2, "But your iniquities have separated you," this is God speaking, "from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear." And so people search for God. They wonder where he is. There's a deep longing in many people's hearts for something spiritual. But they don't know where to find him. Job says these words, "If only I knew where to find him. If only I could go to his dwelling. If I go to the east, he's not there. If I go to the west, I do not find him." You know, the Beatles went to the east. They went to India to look for something spiritual under the Maharishi, the guru there, but they didn't find him. Some people go to the west. They think they'll find him in all the western materialism and wealth. Job says, "I go to the east, he's not there. If I go to the west, he's not there. When he is at work in the north, I don't see him. When he turns to the south, I catch no glimpse of him." So there's this feeling amongst us that God is real, but somehow he's gone away. But the Bible tells us that it's we who have driven him away by our own decision to say, "We don't want you." That is what human sin is. It's got many forms, murder and adultery and stealing and lying and cheating, but really it is simply us saying to God, "We can do without you." And God of such tender heart and meekness of personality, God himself, says, "All right, have it your own way." But he's determined to come again to us because he loves us. But it's a long and difficult process. And we read about that process of how he begins to come and draw near to us. We read about it in the pages of the Old Testament. He chose one people and he decided to draw near to these people so that one day he could reach all the world through them. But they were a disobedient people like the rest of humanity. It was a long, painful process. And during this time, in the Old Testament, he sends, through a messenger, commandments, laws, so that we don't just destroy ourselves. They aren't as good of him as him being personally with us, but they do come from him, and we need them, and we call them the commandments of God, and there's 10 of them especially, and let's just think of them this evening briefly. The commandments that God has given us, written on tablets of stone in the Ark of the Covenant. The first one is, you shall have no other gods but me. Don't worship the sun, the moon, or the stars. Don't pray to the spirits of the dead. Don't get involved with magic or witchcraft. They may seem fun. However, they'll only draw you away from the true God and enslave you. These things did not create the world. They can't forgive you your sins, and they won't be your judge at the last day. Worship God alone. And the second one, he said, was, don't make any carvings or pictures of me, of God. Because if you try to draw a picture of God or make a carving of God, it won't be right, and it'll simply lead you astray, and your religion will be distorted. God himself is going to show himself to you one day, so don't draw any pictures or make any carvings and worship them. Don't worship anything that you've made. We human beings make many things. They may be good and okay to enjoy, but don't set our hearts on them, because if we do, they'll spoil our humanity and ruin us. Thirdly, don't misuse the name of God. If you do, you'll count his person as worthless. And that means your own life will become worthless. We know that this particular commandment is broken in every street, workplace, office, university, school, college, staff room, playground in our country, don't we? The fourth commandment is, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. If you're totally absorbed in business and trade and work and entertainment, that too will diminish your humanity. Have one day a week. Keep it special, different from the other days. Dedicate it to enjoying the friendship of God, and that will help you in your humanity to be a true human being. Honor your father and your mother. All human relationships are very important, but most important of all is our family relationships. It may not be easy in our families. We may resent things that our father and mother have said and done, but we must still honor them. If we don't, society will crumble. Don't murder. Human life doesn't belong to us. We can't just decide to get rid of it, not even our own life. We're made in the image of God. To attack another human life, even our own life, is to attack God. Don't commit adultery. There are three parties to a marriage. There's a bride, and there's a groom, and there's God, all making a covenant to one another. To commit adultery is not only to be unfaithful to one's spouse, but also to God. Don't steal. All dishonest gain is wrong. Don't bear false witness against others. Don't gossip about other people. It inevitably leads to false opinions about other people. Keep to the truth. Don't covet. Don't set your heart on something that rightfully belongs to another person. Now, those were the commandments which God gave through his messenger to the people of the world. His messenger was Moses. We ignore them at our peril. We follow them to our blessing. But, you know, even with all these commandments, we still would not know God personally. And these commandments don't tell us how to be forgiven and find peace with God when we've broken one of them. So we read in John again, our text, verse 17 and 18, the law was given through Moses, the commandments came through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. To know Jesus is to know God personally. When he came, he didn't come as a mere messenger from God, but he came from the very heart of his Father. He and the Father are one. And the very presence of God brings us many blessings that the laws alone, the commandments alone, could not bring us. So verse 16 we read, from the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. When he came, Jesus came with commandments, yes, but he also came as the very presence of God to heal the sick, forgive the sinner, warn the self-righteous religious people that they were on the way to hell if they remained self-righteous. He cast out devils, raised the dead, taught the life of the kingdom, wept for the sins of Jerusalem, died for our sins, rose from the dead, spoke of his coming again at the end of the age, when he would take all the causes of evil and throw them into outer darkness and save all who humbly look to him. Now, in all that ministry of Jesus, his teaching, his miracles, his life, his death, his resurrection, his love, his warnings, in all of that, we come face to face with Almighty God. In my little parable, which I made up, the Father just returns from the war, doesn't he? But in reality, the coming of Christ among us was hard, indeed. For he too was in a war against evil, a war which we started against him. When we said, this world which you created, we're going to make it our own, and we don't want you here anymore. We declared, as it were, war on God. And so when God comes to us through Jesus, he comes wounded in the war which we started. The marks of death were in his hands and his feet. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The peace which we can enjoy with him came because he endured the punishment we deserve. And so also in this chapter of John 1, verse 29, the next day John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, look, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, the Lamb that was slain. And then verse 26 and verse 33, I baptize with water, John replied, but among you stands one whom you do not know. The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. The presence of Jesus on earth was the presence of God on earth. The presence of Jesus with us today is the Holy Spirit. He gives us Christ, full of grace and truth. Now let us all bow our heads. I'm just going to say a short prayer, and I invite us all to say this prayer in our hearts. And if it's the first time you have said a prayer like this, believe that God has heard it and has come to you, whatever you feel. O Lord Jesus, you came to the world to save sinners and bring us back to your Father. Send us your Holy Spirit now, that our hearts and lives might be filled with your love and grace and truth. Amen.